As we begin our lesson this morning, we look to the example of Jesus, and we look to ourselves as we live our lives before God each day. And we find that all is not always pleasant. All is not always easy. All is not always what we would have it to be. It's not an easy lesson for young people to learn. After we've been over the road a little bit, it's sometimes easier to understand. But nonetheless, from time to time, we get discouraged when we do the very best that we can in service to God, and yet there doesn't seem to be any thankfulness for it. As we look to the book of Luke, chapter 17, beginning with verse 7, Jesus said, "And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down and eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink.' Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" All of us appreciate thanks for the things that we have done. And especially as husbands, we need to remember that toward our wives. But in our service to God, there is no thanks necessary. Because everything that we do in service to God is just what is our duty. There is nothing that we can do that puts God indebted to us. What do you do when nobody pats you on the back? You work hard, but nobody seems to notice the effort that you put forth. Why do you clean when you know the kids are just going to come behind you and mess things up again? Or why do you give that extra effort at work when you know the boss isn't going to appreciate it and your family isn't going to appreciate what you do to bring home what's necessary for them to continue to live and to thrive? But the question that we should ask ourselves is being appreciated a right? Should we only do things because others recognize what we've done? As we look to the scriptures, we find that our good deeds are to shine forth in the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As we let our light shine, what's the purpose of it? Is it to bring recognition to ourselves? As we do the works that God has given us to do, is it to bring glory to us, to bring honor to us, to let others look and say, look what great work he's doing? No. Jesus said the purpose is to glorify God in heaven. Glorify your Father in heaven. That's the purpose for what we do. Not to bring honor to ourselves, but to bring honor to God. For ourselves, we are living to serve Him. It's very often tempting to do righteousness because others see us doing this. But what did Jesus have to say about this in the next chapter in Matthew 6, verses 1 through 6? He says, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you do your charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues or on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. What responsibility do we have? Not to call attention to ourselves, but to ensure that it is God who receives the glory. This is a trap that the Pharisees fell into. This is one, as Jesus is coming to the last week of his life and looking down on Jerusalem, and is in sorrow for the city, is here before this condemning those who seek glory for themselves. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning with verse 5, speaking of the Pharisees, Jesus said, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. Let's stop there for a moment. What is he talking about here? These phylacteries were things that they wore on their wrists and on their foreheads that held a piece of scripture. He says, and they make broad or enlarge the borders of their garments. These parts that were especially colorful, making them stand out among others. In verse 6, they love the best places at the feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men rabbi. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus talks about taking the best place at feasts. And he says, you take it for yourself, and then the master comes in with someone greater than you, and you're humbled by being asked to move to a lower spot. He said, rather, take the lower position first. And when the master comes in and says, friend, come up here to a higher seat, he said, then you will have honor among all. Don't take it for yourselves. We find Jesus as an example when he was partaking of the last Passover feast with his disciples. He, being the master, showed them what it was to be servant of all. When he took the towel and the container of water and washed their feet, the one who was the Son of God humbled himself and became servant of those who followed him. Justification is seen in what other men accept and not what God accepts. Excuse me, is seen as what? Apologize. As what other men accept and not what God accepts. But what are we told about this in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15? He said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. What does that tell you about the praise of men? What does that tell you about where the importance is of what praise we ought to seek? If we are being praised of men, Jesus said, these works that men praise us for are an abomination to God. If we seek praise from God, we will not seek the praise of men. If our purpose is to be well-liked on this earth, then you've chosen the wrong profession to be a Christian. Because in being a faithful child of God, you will be an enemy of the world. If we seek the praise of men, we do not believe God. In John chapter 5 and verse 44, we're told, how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes only from God? How is it that we can seek the honor of men and think that God is pleased with this? We should seek the honor that comes from God. It makes things difficult from time to time. When we do everything that we know to do to be right with God, and no one recognizes the work that we do. But if that's all we're seeking is the praise of men, then we have our reward when we get it. There is no reward from God. Now, is that to say that we don't praise one another when we see good works being done? No. But that's not the purpose for us doing the good works. We do righteousness for God, but we must not make the mistake of thinking that God needs our feeble efforts. Our wickedness does not harm God, and our righteousness does not benefit Him. This is something that we need to realize. What we do in service to God is for ourselves. God doesn't need anything that we have. Everything that we have, everything that we do, already belongs to God. He doesn't need anything from us. We are the ones who need to show our respect for Him and our service to Him. Elihu, as you may recall, was one of Job's so-called friends who came to him in his misery. And he's the one speaking here in Job chapter 35, verses 6 and 7. He says, "If you sin, what do you accomplish against Him? Or if your transgressions are multiplied, what do you do to Him? If you are righteous, what do you give Him? Or what does He receive from your hand?" While we know that everything that Elisha said was not true, because it was not Job's sin that caused him this pain and suffering that he was going through, we see that he is right here in what he tells Job. He said it doesn't matter what we do, it can't harm God. What we do can't be something that gives more to God than He already has. We cannot take anything from Him. We cannot give Him anything that He does not have. But we have a responsibility to live our lives in service to Him, not because He needs it, but because we need it. We need these things to show ourselves that we are God's children. Show the world that we are God's children. Show them that there is hope in service to God. The whole duty of man is to serve God. We see this over and over from this pulpit, but it fits very well here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all." King James Version, "This is the whole duty of man." We have this responsibility. As Jesus pointed out in the first passages that we looked at in Luke 17, we are just doing our duty. It is nothing beyond our duty that we do. This is man's all. This is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep His commandments. Do we require the praise of men in doing this? If we do, we seek the wrong praise. God owes us nothing for our service. Romans chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. "Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. to whom be glory forever. Amen. And I appreciate Edward for leading the song that he did this morning. Can we say we gave something to God so that He owes us salvation? We can't. So how is it that we seek praise for the things that we've done? Everything that we have is what God has first given us. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, beginning with verse 13, David, doing the speaking here, recall that David had asked the honor of building a temple for God. God declined his request because he was a man of war, but that his son would be given the honor of building this temple, but that David was allowed to gather material together for the building of the temple. And we read David speaking here, as I said, in 1 Chronicles 29, beginning with verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorified name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. We were all our fathers, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. We need to remember that whatever we do, the strength that we have, the things that we give in service to Him have been given to us by Him. We're giving back but what belongs to Him. We serve God because we love Him. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? Jesus refers back to this when He's asked what's the great commandment in Matthew chapter 22 and beginning with verse 36. Teacher, He's asked, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The motivation for righteousness is because God says it's right, not because man pats us on the back for doing good. We cannot do right because others will reward our deeds. In Matthew chapter 5 again, this time down at verse 46, it says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet other brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Too often we do good because of what we get out of it and not because of the fact that it's right in and of itself. Luke 6, verses 31 through 36. Just as you want men to do to you, you should also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." We have a responsibility to do good to all, not just to those whom we respect, not just to those whom we give honor, but to all. Be the example that Christ was, giving His life even for those who would put Him to death. If respect of others is our motivation, then we're going to be sorely disappointed. As Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 17, "Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." As we look into the law of God, we see that our righteous deeds will not be ignored. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, "Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." We don't look for our reward from men, although, as I mentioned earlier, it does give us courage and to continue on, and strength when these things are noticed. It is not necessary for us as Christians, because we look forward to hearing those gentle words of Jesus, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." That is the reward that we should be looking for. If we're looking for reward here on this earth, we're looking in the wrong place. The question for you this morning is, what motivates your service to God? Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Choose today who it is that you'll serve. Will you serve man to be glorified of man, or will you serve God to be glorified of Him? If you're not a Christian this morning, now is your opportunity to become a faithful child of His, while time and opportunity are yours. If you are a child of His but have become unfaithful, now is the time to ask for forgiveness, that you can stand justified before Him and ready to hear those precious words, "Enter in." If we can help you in any way,